Welcome to the Natcha Healing Show. Keep it Natcha, be the Natcha Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, our guest today is Myra Ribeiro. Myra Ribeiro is a holistic career and leadership coach, and you can find out more about Myra Ribeiro and her wonderful work at MyraCoaching.com. Welcome, Myra Ribeiro.
Hi, thank you for having me. So glad to be here.
So, Myra Ribeiro, what exactly is human design?
Human design, in simple terms, is a map of our mechanics, how we were designed from birth to operate in the world, and how our energy, our frequency, is designed to flow in a way that is more aligned with our true self. Human design came to existence around 1987 when a supernova hit the Earth and we receive a download of information about this new system that combines ancient wisdom such as the Chinese I Ching, astrology, the chakra system, the Tree of Life, the Kabbalah Tree of Life, and quantum mechanics. So it is a new system, and it gives you, with your birth, complete birth information, including your time of birth, it gives you a chart. And when you look at this chart, you see sacred geometry, and this sacred geometry shows the intersection between all these ancient wisdoms. But the very cool thing about human design that made me fall in love with the system is that it gives you something very practical to utilize in our day-to-day life, which is our decision-making strategy. So we work in human design with four types: the generators, who are here to build things as they respond to life, as they attract life. Life comes to them, they respond, and they're designed to build things, life, out of that response. And then we have the projectors that have this very wonderful gift to understand the other deeply. So they need to be, their strategies to wait for recognition and invitation. And then we have the initiators that have this internal creative flow, this urge, and they are designed to follow that and then just initiate, but they need to inform the people that are going to be affected by their actions before they act. And then we have our cool reflectors. As the name says, they're here to reflect the environment and let us know how we all are doing as a community.
Okay, now what is BG5?
Yes. So after I started my experimentation with human design, I have a business background. I found that human design that has an application for career, business, and groups dynamics. And so in this system that comes from the human design system, it shows you how you can use your design to be materially successful, to make money and have profits. And so this system lets the individual know how I can best utilize my strength, my traits, what can I, you know, what is my work purpose? And also from a group dynamic, it shows gaps in group dynamics and the way to fill those gaps so the group can be more successful financially. So that's the main difference between also the main difference between the two systems.
So you have a background as a lawyer and also as a small business owner. So you began to study human design and BG5 several years ago. What convinced you that human design and BG5 were not just spiritual concepts, but practical tools that people can use for business?
Yes, the short answer to that, I started applying my decision-making strategy and I started to notice the difference it was making in my life. As you know, Catherine, back in 2015, I had the blessing of a breakdown. I had this very successful business that I started from scratch with my husband, and we grew this business to about $40 million. We had employees, we had suppliers, we had clients. It was a very demanding job. So my career looked amazing on paper, but on the inside, I was severely burnt out until one day I woke up and I couldn't go on anymore, right? And so I had to figure out a way to get myself out of this big hole that I found myself in. And over time, I experimented with many different modalities, many systems, until I responded to human design. And I started applying my decision-making strategy. I started to be more connected with my body. And I saw the difference that it started to make in my life once I started taking action that was more in alignment with my energy, my frequency, and my life purpose.
So,
And
Myra Ribera, so you talk about decision-making strategy. What do you mean by a decision-making strategy? Can you explain that for our audience?
yes, we all talk about auras, right? This bioenergetic frequency that extends beyond our body. But in the human design, each one of the types have a different the aura. Operates a little bit differently. So, for example, the generators have an aura that is attractive. They're always attracting things to them. So, that's why their decision-making strategy is to wait to respond. So, we don't actually need to go out in the world and try to figure out what to do, what is the correct path. We can wait for things to come to us as we expose ourselves, we're going about our lives. We can wait for things to come to us, and so this gives us a decision-making strategy. In the case of the generators, is to wait to respond. Then the other types all have their own decision-making strategy. For the projectors, is to wait for recognition and invitation. For the initiators, is to act and inform before they act. And for the evaluators, is actually to wait for at least one full moon cycle for them to gain clarity. It's only 1% of the population. So basically, decision-making strategy helps you to listen to your body, listen to your inner, we call it inner authority, so you can bypass the mind and make decisions that are more in alignment with your being.
So this
And
sounds, so Myra Ribera, this sounds about like what you're talking about, intuition, different forms of intuition. Is that correct?
yes, it is.
Okay. Now, Myra Ribera, you are a holistic career and leadership coach. How can understanding your decision-making strategy empower you to make better decisions in your career?
That's a very good question. A lot of us, and I am one of them, seek careers because we want to show that we can. We're still working on our self-worth and, you know, make our parents proud, whatever the case may be, or following the shoulds. I need to, choose this career because it's gonna, I'm gonna make money, or I'm gonna look good, I'm gonna show that I can, whatever the case may be. And not necessarily this career is aligned with your energy, what you actually have energy for. And this is why a lot of us find ourselves in a situation where the career looks great on paper, but we don't find the fulfillment. It's not in alignment with our values, it's not in alignment to what we actually have energy for. So to give you an example, our friend projectors, who are 20% of the population, they don't have consistent access to work energy, and they need cycles of rest so they can work, and then they need to rest. So a 9-to-5 job is a little complicated for most projectors. Some projectors have a lot of energy, but they need, it's kind of like depends, right? It's not like a fixed time in the day. No, from 9 to 5, I'm going to work every day. It doesn't work this way for them, for most of them. So when you use your decision-making strategy to choose work that is in alignment with your true self, the way you were designed to operate, you have a better chance to not only be successful financially, but also find work that feels fulfilling to you and is sustainable.
Wonderful. Now, Myra Ribeiro, you mentioned that there's four basic types in human design. If I get this right, they're generators, projectors, initiators, and reflectors. Did I get that right?
Yes, correct. It's perfect.
So, can you summarize for our audience who might be listening? So, many of us who may be listening, we may already know our types, or you may know our types, or if you don't, you can set up an appointment with Myra Ribeiro to learn your type. Can you summarize what are the primary decision-making strategies for each type and what kind of work is best aligned for each type? So let's begin with the generators. So what kind of decision-making do the generators have? What is their decision-making process? And what kind of, so we're going to talk about what's their decision-making process and what sort of work works best for them?
So, one clarification first. The generators have a subtype, which is the manifesting generators. Okay. They are also a kind of generator, but they have a little bit of the manifesting abilities of the manifestors. So, for a generator, regardless if you are a manifesting generator or a pure generator, like I said, you have this attractive aura. So you have to wait for opportunities to come to you so you can see, you can use your inner authority. And then we can talk about the different kinds of inner authorities. You listen to your inner authority and then you see how you respond, if it's something that you have energy for or not. Because once something for the generators is in alignment, they're going to feel their body expanding. They're going to feel this internal excitement, their energy rising, and it's going to be expansive, as opposed to shrinking and your energy just, being heavy,
Okay,
right?
so what about the projectors? What's the decision
So
maker strategy for the projectors, and what sort of work or career does best for the projectors?
for the projectors, they have this gift to go deep and to be very penetrating. They're always penetrating, and they have this ability to go deep into the other and understand the other very deeply. This is why they need the recognition and invitation, because it can feel a little intrusive. They're so right. They're so on point what needs to be fixed, either if it's a person or a system. They're very good at knowing how to take processes from point A to point B using the least amount of resources. But sometimes their insights are so correct and so life-changing that the other person is not ready for it. So that's why their strategy is to wait for an invitation. They're here for the people that are going to recognize them and be ready for what they have to share. So that's why the decision-making strategy is wait for the recognition and invitation, the right people. And so, as far as defining what is the correct career, because decision-making strategy or type is the first layer. right? And there's a lot of things that comes, it's like peeling the onion, like your map is like peeling the onion of how you're designed to operate. So it's very difficult just based on decision-making strategy to say to someone, oh, you should be doing this or that, right?
What about the initiators then? So tell us about the initiators.
The initiators, they have an internal urge, an internal creative flow, and they know when they can just go ahead and take action. So, as a matter of fact, the Nike commercial, just go ahead and do it, only works for 8% of the population because they are the ones that truly can just out of thin air have this urge and go ahead and do it. But before they do it, so they don't face a lot of resistance, they need to inform those that are going to be affected by their actions. So that's their decision-making strategy.
And what about the reflectors? What is the major decision-making strategy and career approach for reflectors?
I like to joke that if they're only 1% of the population, and I like to joke that when you find a reflector in your life, grab onto this person because they're only 1% of the population, and they have this amazing gift to sample the environment. So their aura is let some of the energy pass through and then keep it some of it out, right? So they have this sampling aura, and with this sampling ability, they can diagnose the health of the environment, the health of the community. So usually when a reflector is not feeling healthy, they're just reflecting the health of the environment. We're reflectors right now, right?
Okay. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. We're listening today to Myra Ribeiro, holistic career and leadership coach. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Myra Ribeiro, holistic career and leadership coach. So when we study natural healing and nature itself, the only constant is actually change. How can human design empower us to protect ourselves from the changes that are inevitable and that are coming?
Well, from an individual perspective, we have something in our chart that is called incarnation cross, which shows us individually where our life purpose, the frequency of our life purpose, right? And from a planetary perspective, the Earth also has an incarnation cross that changes every 400 years. And this incarnation, the Earth incarnation cross, is about to change in 2027. And we're moving from a cross that is called Cross of Plenty, that is rooted in logic, systems, and tribe, bargains, organizations, structures, infrastructures, processes. And that's why we have observed in the last 400 years the Industrial Revolution, the formation of conglomerates, economical conglomerates, for example, supermarkets, large countries got organized, right? And this is shifting towards a cross that is called the Cross of the Sleeping Phoenix. And the Cross of the Sleeping Phoenix is rooted in individuality, inner authority. That's why I feel called to do this work, because the thing that is going to protect us in the future is really our decision-making strategy and our listening to our inner authority. Because everything in the external world is going to look so different than anything that we have seen in the last 400 years, that is going to be very difficult to use logic, the things, the experiences from the past, in order to figure out what we need to do right now or we need to do in the future. So we are moving towards a new era where we're going to have to be present in the moment to make day by day, moment by moment decisions. We won't be able to look in our past experiences. We won't be able to plan too much ahead because things are going to move so fast and so rapidly that what really going to help us is practicing our decision-making strategy, listening to our, because we won't have many people to consult with, because even the gurus or the experts, they also will not know what to do. So we are moving into this era. The voice of the Cross of the Sleeping Phoenix is I am. So the way to really protect ourselves is figure out who you are and vibrate into that frequency.
Very powerful message. Now, as you know, Myra Ribeiro, as a holistic career and lifestyle coach, leadership coach, many people, when they get to their midlife, they end up changing careers. What advice do you have people who are in the middle of their career or they've already started a career? And then they, like you said, like you experienced, they're in a job and they're like, this doesn't work for me.
Yes. I think the first thing is to understand what's happening to you. From a human design perspective, a lot of things happen to us between the age 40 and 55. One of them, we have something in our design that is called the nodes, and we have the north nodes and the south nodes. And we shift around age 40 from the south node to the north node. And basically, the nodes is our perspective of life. It's what we see and where we be, the people and the places we are attracted to. And that shifts in middle age, around the age 40. So literally, there is a change there in the perspective, the way you see things and the people and the places you're going to feel attracted to. So that's one major change that happens around 40. Another change that happens is there is a planet, Uranus. Uranus was discovered in 1781, we shifted from Saturnian beings having a life expectancy of around 55 to 84 years old. So that's why, back in the days, you became an adult at age 25. You had family, you had a career already at age 25. Now, we really become adults at age 40. And when that happens, it's like you realize that you're halfway there and you start to question, like, am I in the right direction? Because I don't have a lot of time left, right? And also the other thing that happens is around, and that is all preparing us for around age 55, when something else happened, which is our Chiron return, that's when we become ready to embody our wisdom. That's when we become ready to really do something about our legacy work. So everything that happens between the age 40 until 55 is a preparation for that. And that's why you hear a lot of women when they are around 55, they start saying things like, I don't care about what people say anymore. I don't care if I have wrinkles. I don't care. I just want to be myself and be happy being myself. So that's why with all these things changing, a lot of people start questioning and they feel like more ready than ever to seek that fulfillment, that career fulfillment, and also start doing meaningful work that is in alignment with who they are, their authentic voice, and start building something that are gonna they're gonna feel like I'm leaving my legacy behind.
So great information. So how do you empower someone to go about finding meaningful work?
The quick answer to that is your decision-making strategy. Like you, we are the only people who know what is that work and what excites us and what is fulfilling for us. Fulfilling is something that is very personal. And you can only get to that as you embody your true self, your authentic voice. And when you start listening to your intuition as a broader term, your body's wisdom, and you start living as yourself and not living the shoulds anymore, what other people expect from you. When you feel self-empowered enough to say, this is what I really like, this is what I am here to do. And so as you follow, and then the process of, you know, in the work that I do, the process is really how people peel the layers. For example, their inner critic, the things that are holding them back and not allowing them to step into their power. So that is the work. Okay. To get to a place where you get gain clarity and you also know your better your true self and what are the things that are fulfilling to you.
Okay. Now, as you know, my Ribeiro, so many people feel stuck in their careers right now. What advice do you have for people who are feeling stuck in their work?
The first thing I like to tell people is to have an honest conversation with themselves to figure out what is their stress level. If they are in toxic stress or not, because when we are too stressed, as you know better than I do, our focus narrows, right? And we are just trying to figure out, our brains are just trying to figure out how to find a solution for that immediate threat, because our brain does not know the difference between I'm being chased I'm being chased by a tiger or I hate my boss, right? It's all stress. And so if your focus is too narrow, that's when we usually find ourselves in situations where we can't see the big picture. When we are in a more expansive state, in rest and digest state, that's when we have a better chance of listening to our innate wisdom, which does not happen when we are in toxic stress. So that's the first thing I recommend people to do, is get out of the toxic stress so you can start listening to your inner authority. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is really start experimenting with your decision-making strategy so you can start finding opportunities that are more in alignment with what you want to do in your life.
Okay. So great information. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, Medical Intuitive Healer. We're listening to Myra Ribeiro, a holistic career and leadership coach. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, Whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Myra Ribeiro, as you explained earlier, human design is a new system. And it's a conglomeration from astrology, the I Ching, and many other systems. How can a conglomeration such as human design based on astrology actually help people make money?
That's the million-dollar question, right? So when you, like I said in the beginning, you use your date information and then you get a chart, right? And then you need someone that understands that chart to be able to translate it to you in order to for you to know how to use the chart in your life, right? And one of the first things that I said many times already is your decision-making strategy. The other thing that people can understand through a chart is where is my strengths? What are the traits that I bring to the table? So from an individual level is applying your decision-making strategy to take action into things that are more in alignment with you, but in also understanding what you bring to the table. What are your strengths, your traits, and what are the things that you actually enjoy doing? Because I think this is moving into this new era that I'm talking about. The way we're going to make money is not necessarily joining big organizations where you have to give up on your individuality for the sake of the group. Now we have to figure out what is my values, what is that I enjoy doing, what I want to build in my life. I can't rely on somebody else figuring that out for me. So using your design to figure that out for yourself and then sort of become an agent of your own power. And then finding the partnerships, finding the kindred spirits, finding the companies that can use your service. And make money this way. So we're moving into an era that I feel like in order to be successful financially, you have to be aware of your frequency, the frequency of the people that you serve. So it's going to be at that level of awareness and self-empowerment that we are going to make money moving forward.
Okay, so Myra Ribeiro, you talked about the different decision-making strategies or the 4 key types in human design. Can you explain for our audience what are the unique strengths of each of the types? Let's begin with a generator. So what are some common strengths of generators?
That's a great question, Catherine, which aligns with the answer that I just gave you. So the gift of a generator, regardless if you're a manifesting generator or a pure generator, is you're here to, we are here because I'm one of them and you are one of them as well. We are here to do the work that we love and love the work that we do.
Okay.
Period. This is what recharges us. So we need to follow that. What do I have energy for? What excites me? What is that I love doing? I can, even if I didn't make any money, like I can spend hours and lose myself doing that. So we are here to do that. When we do too much work that frustrates us, that brings our energy down, that drains us, this is a killer. That's a path for burnout over time. Sooner or later, that's the path to burnout, right? So that's the gift. When we are doing things just flow, we attract the right people and everything becomes like this positive snowball.
That's really funny that you say that. A friend of mine, Darren McBratney, he was the number one source of referrals in my business. He used to send all, he just passed away in November a few months ago. But I remember he asked me one time, he said, Catherine, do you get tired doing medical intuitive readings? And I was like, no. I said, it's like, it's so energizing. It's exhilarating for me. And obviously I do most of my work during the day, but I've actually done medical intuitive readings in the middle of the night. It doesn't bother me. It's easy for me. So yeah. Tell us about the projector. What are the strengths of the projectors?
The projectors, they have a hard time understanding themselves, but they have this gift to understand the others. And as they understand the other, they can understand themselves. And so they can go deep, like I said, into the other person to know exactly what's not working. And I'm going to give you an example. My son is a projector. One day I was running late for an appointment and he saw my frustration and he came to say, Mom, you rinse it and I put inside the washing machine and we can go faster this way. So he just have this natural ability to know how to save you time. And another day he came home, I was frustrated. I was working on my website. I couldn't figure something out. And he said, you know what, Mom, I think you just need a break. Like take a deep breath. Why don't we go outside for a walk? He just knew exactly what I needed. And he's only 7, right? So they have this natural ability. So they're not here to trade work hours by money. They're here to charge for their brilliance, for their insights. And then they can charge more for that, right? So that's why they need the people that gets them, that recognize their brilliance.
Now, what about the initiators? What are the strengths of the initiators?
The initiators, they have a closed-in aura. And this aura is actually protecting their creative internal flow from outside interference. And so they're here to really start things out of thin air, like get things running, and then let a builder or let an advisor guide the process and actually build the thing moving forward. They get things started, and then they have to partner with the other types in order to get that off the ground. So that's their gift.
And what is the strength of the reflectors? And you said the reflectors are only about 1%. They're very rare. So what are the strengths of the reflectors?
The cool thing about the reflectors is that they reflect everything back to us. So when you're having a conversation with a reflector and the way they feel and the answers that come out of their mouth is actually reflecting us. So they are like the canaries in a coal mine. Back in the days, they used to take the canaries because if there was gas being produced inside a mine, we wouldn't smell it. And then if the canary dropped that, people left immediately, right? So they're really like the barometers of our society. And I hope we're going to evolve enough to understand that each board of anything, educations, directors of anything needs a reflector in it. Every government needs reflectors in place because they really see, you know, this is not the right direction that we're going. There is a major change that needs to happen. So that's their brilliance, their gift.
So Myra Ribeiro, as a holistic career and leadership coach, what information do you need from a person to discover their human design?
To get started is the birth information, the complete birth information, day, month, year, city, and the time of birth. And the time of birth is really important to be as accurate as possible, because as you go deeper into the deeper layers of the design, a few minutes can make a difference. It usually does not make a difference as much in terms of decision-making strategy, inner authorities, not so much public role profile, which is another layer of the system. But as you get deeper, it's better to know the precise time. That's the way to, you know, to get started. And that's actually the reason why I think this is a great system in comparison to most personality assessments, because most personality assessments like DISC, Myers-Briggs, Enneagram is based on questions and answers. And when we are giving answers, we are giving answers based on the things that we know about ourselves. And in human design, your chart is the combinations of your conscious information and unconscious information. And also, when we are giving answers, the answers are colored by our limiting belief systems, our traumas, our emotions. We are not as rational as we think we are. And so the result can be a little, how can I say? It's not as accurate and as it could possibly be. And so that's why I like human design, because it's based on the birth info. It's one data, one piece of information, and then it gives you opportunities of self-reflection from there.
Now, this is very similar to astrology. So if you talk to an astrologer, a master astrologer, they would also want your date of birth, your place of birth, and the time of birth. So mm-hmm. How is human design different from astrology?
I think the main difference is that in astrology, they work with your time of birth information. In a human design charts, takes in consideration the time of birth and also the time configuration of chart 88 days or 88 around 88 degrees or 88 days before your time of birth. So it's actually being generated two charts put together to give your human design. Right. So I think that's the biggest difference. So with that, you get the conscious information and also the unconscious information, the things that you just know about yourself when something happens. So basically, there are things, if you think about a city, the cars that are driving on the streets are the things that you can see and you know about yourself. But then there are tunnels underneath the city, and you only see those cars as they come out of the tunnel. So there are things that we know and things that we don't know, right? So that's, I think, the main difference. And I think the other difference is decision-making strategy, inner authority. And also in human design, we work with seven energetic hubs of inner energy and frequency that is very similar to the chakra system. But in human design, we work with nine centers. And those centers can let you know what are the frequencies that are consistent and reliable inside of you when they are defined or colored in. And the centers of energy that are open and can be a source of inner critic, not self thinking. And usually those are the things that hold us back. So there are, how can I explain this? It gives you more of a sense of how you are designed to operate on the energy level. Like, what are the things that you're feeling inside of you? Helps people understand their inner world. I feel better than other systems that are out there.
So, Myra Ribeiro, you are a holistic career and leadership coach with a background as a lawyer and a small business owner. What one thing do you really want people to understand about human design and business?
One thing that I really hope that people understand is that that thing that we hear out there, that be a professional and leave your personal life on the side. Don't bring your personal life, your emotions here. You know, just be this professional persona that doesn't have feelings, that are, you know, bottom line oriented. And this is, forgive my French, BS. We are not separate beings. We are just one person. And our personal life affects our professional life. Our professional life affects our personal life, period. And so when you understand yourself better and how you operate, the kind of people that you're here to serve, I think you're more self-empowered to go, yeah, that doesn't work for me. If this is how you think, if this is all about, you know, bottom line. I had an experience in my MBA where I was having a finance semester and a sustainability semester at the same time. And the finance professor was all he was teaching was bottom line. All the things, you know, it doesn't matter what comes, you know, before the bottom line. You have to focus on the bottom line, profits, profits, profits. And I asked him and I said, I am a little confused because in this sustainability class, we're learning that we're going to, if we continue doing this, we're going to become, you know, kings of big ashtrays because that's where the planet is going. So how are we going to include sustainability into this way that you're teaching us? And he didn't have, he not only had a good answer to me, he gave me a C plus, my only C plus that I got in my whole program for asking this question. Okay. So it's going to take in self-empowered, aware leaders to understand that we need to do things differently. Understanding that the frequency that we bring to the table, who we are as a person, is affects the whole thing and the way we're going to make business decisions that are more in alignment with the changes that we need in the planet, because the way we're living is just not sustainable. We need to make some serious changes yesterday. And it's going to take self-aware, self-empowered leaders to do that.
You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at catherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Our guest today has been Myra Ribeiro, holistic career and leadership coach. You can find out more about Myra Ribeiro and her wonderful work at her website, myracoaching.com. And remember, you are biochemically unique. You are spiritually unique. Your energy is as unique as your footprint. You are already a VIP. You're a vibrational interference pattern. And as you honor the unique soul that you are, you can heal yourself naturally and find success in the material world. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.